Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. A really rough, rough loss for the Predators last night. 5-0 at the hands of the Boston Bruins. And I think that I view this game as a measuring stick game. Boston is the best team in the NHL. Losing to that team is not surprising, but it's in the fashion in which the Predators did lose. Mm-hmm. In a game where they had everything to prove, everything to fight for, and they just simply didn't see it out on the ice. You didn't see the fight. You didn't see the fire. It didn't seem like a team that was trying to prove to its general manager that we deserve to stay together and make a push for the playoffs. I didn't see that last night when I really thought they should have stepped up and shown that.
Well, you saw a team that at least I saw. And again, I could be wrong here, and I hope I am. But I saw a team that, yeah, after the first period, didn't fight. They just laid down and said, you know what, y'all the better team. And, you know, let's just get this game over with. And that says a lot about the team as a whole, because, like Willie said, I'm not. It's not that they lost. I don't think anyone picked them to win against Boston. Anyway, it's the fashion in which you lost. Yeah. It was like, okay, it was like almost like I'm just gonna open the gate or open my front door. Go ahead and take everything you want in my house. Because I can't beat you. I can't do anything to stop you. So go ahead and take everything in my house.
Graciously accept
exactly.
my L.
And then when you leave, I will close the door and lock it. And you can go about your merry way.
Yeah. And it was too easy.
Yeah, it was just didn't have too, to work entirely
hard.
Too easy.
I mean, not that Boston doesn't work hard. That's the thing about Boston is they could have coasted. Mm-hmm. And said, you know, we got 40 wins. We're the Bruins. Whether we win or lose this game, in the big picture, we're fine. Who are we trading for? They came in and they had the edge. They showed why they're the best. And then they were probably looking around going, hey, man, that was easy.
Yeah.
Rolled out of here with an easy win. Hey, didn't even have to break a sweat almost. You know, that's what stings.
And I know we're all frustrated. I know you, Preds fans, you're all frustrated. But you're not alone in that because Ryan McDonagh shared some pretty obvious frustration about the state of this locker room, the state of this franchise, the state of this team. This is long, but I think it's worth a listen. This was Ryan McDonagh post-game last night.
Best team in the league, is it that much better, or were there some mistakes made from the part tonight?
I think there was a lot of execution left out there by us, lack of it. You know, we've seen a lot of missed passes, you know, some odd man rushes where you'd like to generate something and we don't. You know, there's a willingness and a price to pay, you know, if you want to win in this league. And certainly that team was doing it consistently throughout the game. Just being disciplined, putting pucks behind us, wearing us down that way, taking what's given if there was an opportunity on odd man. And certainly, you know, didn't give us anything for free. And so I think that's the difference in the game. You know, they win the special teams and obviously 5-on-5. So it's tough to find a way to win games when you're kind of lacking in all those areas.
First goal they scored, kind of an illustration of how quickly they can change things. Miss shot on one side and boom, it's 3-on-1.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they just kind of wear you down, take what's given. And you've got to try to play as close to mistake-free hockey and keep yourself positionally sound and patient within the game as far as, you know, not forcing things, not trying to do too much. You know, obviously those guys have got a great recipe going for them and feeling confident. And for us, it's, you know, a lack of confidence at times as far as when there's a play to be made and when not to and be disciplined and you know, get to our forechecking game.
A little disappointing. I mean, you guys maybe played your best three games going into the All-Star break. A little disappointing how things have gone first four coming out.
Sure. I mean, no, most definitely. I mean, you want to play. You practice hard. You play to win games. And you certainly we knew where we were at coming out of the break there as far as the standings go. And it is what it is right now. We've had a couple of tough losses here. You know, two losses. I think there's a lot of plays left for us to be made execution-wise and doing the little things to win games. And so, The fortunate thing for us is we've got opportunity pretty quick here again at home, and certainly not out of the race as far as finding a way to get in the playoffs. So our mindset has to be ratcheted up, everybody in this room here, and believing and trusting each other to go out there and get the job done.
The mindset and the mental game isn't necessarily something that can be taught. So how do you kind of work on that and work on as a team getting mentally reset for the next game?
I mean, obviously, we have to do a job holding ourselves accountable, our teammates accountable, and whether it's watching things on video and talking about things as a line and as a D pairing and unit of five PK units. That's the only way you can really grow as a team here is holding each other accountable and putting in the work to come back and be better the next day.
There you go. That was Ryan McDonough post-game last night. One thing that stood out to me there, mm-hmm. So there's a price to pay to win in this league. So that's clearly not price or sacrifices that this team or individual players are making. And that's a player problem. That if you are not doing what it takes to win in this league, you're hurting this team. And so it could be easy to say, you know, sell those players off or get rid of the bad eggs in the locker room. Well, you're set. This team is set up that have contracts that are so undesirable to sell off. So that's partly a David Poile problem. The buy-in and the confidence in the locker room, Ryan McDonough said it, the confidence is struggling. It's wavering in this locker room. That's partly on the players, and that's partly on the coach and the motivation. So I'm looking at this locker room, and I'm looking at ways that this team can be fixed, and I just don't necessarily see it because the general manager has set this team up with almost indispensable contracts, and it sounds like there's just no hope in the locker room, that there's no turnaround for this season, and it doesn't seem like there's a way out for next.
First of all, I really commend Ryan McDonough for standing up mm-hmm. and answering the questions after a tough loss and being pretty frank,
yeah,
right? And
I appreciate that.
He's got, as we said in the last hour, he's got a background of winning. He knows what a winning team looks like. He's been on great teams. Hold yourself accountable. Hold your teammates accountable. That is what the meeting was all about after mm-hmm. the St. Louis game. That's what really is disturbing is you can't have a meeting every week, as you know, Derek, right?
You can't.
They have too many meetings. It starts going in one ear and out the other, and it doesn't have the same effect. So it's disappointing that you had that meeting, and I have no doubt that Ryan McDonough was a big part of that meeting, trying to do exactly what he said. Hold yourself accountable. Look yourself in the mirror. What can I do? And hold each other accountable. You know, the leadership has said, look, I need more from you guys. I mean, mm-hmm. you've got to do it. Coaches are involved in that too. The coaches were in on that meeting, right? It wasn't a players only meeting. It was trying to air everything out. And like you said, Caroline, a lot of teams in the league, in order to keep your best players, you choose who your best players are, you invest in them, you've got to give them 7 or 8 year deals. That's what the market is. So a lot of teams have this. They have pieces that they can't move. So you have to try to get the most out of them. Last year, they got a lot out of Johansson. They got a lot out of Duchesne. They had a good year from Granlund. They had a great year from Yossi. Great year from Forsberg. Forsberg earned one of those contracts because of the year that he had. This year, it's not happening. So there are some teams that sort of rise and fall based on how much mileage you're getting out of the players that you invest the most in. And now McDonough is one of those players. He came here. He's got a pretty big salary cap hit, right? So he's got to pull his weight. So all that to say is there's not that much difference between having a good year and having a subpar year. And a lot of it comes down to those details. What do you bring into the table every night? Are you paying the price that it takes to win in this league? It is a tough league, even if you're playing Arizona, but absolutely when you're playing Boston, right? If you're not fully invested, and this is really every sport. What does Mike Vrabel say? If you're not ready to play in this league, this is the best league in the world, you will lose. I don't care who you're playing. So that's what you got to have. You have to have max effort. So that's what really stung about last night's game. And you could tell with Ryan McDonough, that's how he felt about it.
But here's the sad part about it is because, you know, Mike Vrabel can say that. And then if you're not doing it, you know what? See you later. I can cut you.
Yeah.
I can get rid of you at the end of the season, you're gone, and I can replace you with someone else. In hockey, it's hard to do that.
It's hard. That's right.
So it's like essentially,
it's easy to sit back
and
cruise.
That's why I'm like, you know, I'm not in favor of, you know, firing Hines or keep him, but he may have to. He may have to get removed from that seat, because in this sport, it's almost the players are going to get you fired, because you have guys that are on these contracts that are so inconsistent that last year they played lights out. This year, you can't find them. And it's going to get the head coach removed from his seat.
Can't fire the players.
Because you can't get rid of the players because nobody wants them because of the contract and their play. So what do you do as a GM or as an owner? You got to look toward the guy that's running the ship. And that's the head coach and then ultimately the GM.
And I think that they're both culpable, because I remember at the end of the year press conference, David Poyle said, "I haven't given John Hines enough tools to win." And I agreed with that. That is part of the problem.
And that's why Nita Ryder and McDonald were brought in.
Exactly. And I thought, okay, those are moves to make a push. Those are moves to continue to build off what you did this year and do better next year. And the fact that they haven't gotten there, even with added pieces to improve the team, that I put on John Hines as well. They're both culpable in this scenario. But let's get to a quick phone call. Paul is up next. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. I'm one of those born and raised in Nashville. Nashville came to town, the Predators, when I was in college. So I've been a fan the whole way through. It was a very different experience getting tickets, what it cost, everything before the 2017 season. And I've been a season ticket holder for quite a while. I didn't jump on in 17. I think what is so frustrating is the decline of the product on ice, which you can't be great every year. I fully understand that. But then at the same time, just the unending coach speak. Even yesterday, the assistant coach, Dan Hines, was on this radio station, I think on the morning show, saying how deep all four lines were and how they could compete with every team in the league if they could just put it together on the ice. And maybe that's just coach speak, but it makes us feel like we're blind, because it's just not fun. It's not a fun experience anymore.
What would you have him say in that scenario? You're an assistant coach. You get asked the question. What would you say?
There's different styles, and I'm not saying this is right, Willie. I don't know what I would say. That's why I'm not qualified to say that.
But I'm just saying. Put yourself in his shoes. You're a coach. You have to
come out and call their players out. No, there are NHL coaches that will call their players out.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Paul.
I'm not sure the assistant coach would be the one to do that. It's a tough position to be in, for sure. There are coaches that will get a little personal, in media situations. I agree with that. I think they've tried to push a lot of buttons, this coaching staff, with this group. They had, like we said, going through a lot of the season last year, they had a really good thing going. That's what I think is frustrating for everybody. They worked so hard to build that to where they were, and they haven't been able to find it consistently this year. They thought they had it fixed going into the break, and then a step back here. It's frustrating. To sell out and say just start ripping everybody, I don't know that that's the way to go, right? Some coaches do, but Dan Hinode is a positive. He's an energy. He's a believer. You know, he's going to try to create the formula. He's going to come in every day and try to pick people up. I think that's his role on the staff.
And this is no disrespect toward Dan Hina whatsoever. I don't think the fans' number one concerns about this team should be what the assistant coach is saying. I think your number one concern should be the product on the ice. And whatever they say behind closed doors, if that changes the outcome, that's what matters. Not necessarily what Dan Hinode says publicly facing. Because we say it with the Titans all the time. They're not going to tell you. They're not going to tell you what they're actually thinking. They're not going to tell you what they actually talked about in the locker room. Mm-hmm. The number one concern should be the product of the team.
Yeah.
The phone lines are absolutely loaded. We are right to your phones coming up next, 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace in 15 minutes. Make sure to get those questions in for D-Mace. It's Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 125-106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 125-106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Your phones are lighting up, so right to your phones we go. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bicycle Boy has been waiting very patiently and is up next. What's up, Bicycle Boy?
Hey, gang, let me get this out of the way really quickly. Willie, I've moved out of Middle Tennessee after 40 years, going way back to you and the director and Biddle. But thankfully, I can stay connected by listening to you guys on the app. So thanks for that avenue.
All right. And Peter, I did know that. Well, I had a source tell me that you had moved. I felt a disturbance in the force, but they told me. So I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you're still tuned in.
Yeah, well, I'll be back. I've still got tickets, so I'll be back.
Okay, good.
So here's my take. I don't know what the identity of this team is anymore. These people that think we need to fire Poile, I think, are clueless as to what GMs in the NHL have to put up with. It's, the draft is not like the NFL draft, which I think a lot of Middle Tennessee people... You don't get players out of the draft that are going to come in very quickly and make impact. I think you've got talent. We've got two superstars. We've got Yossi and Soros. We've got talent. Poile went out and got Niederreiter and McDonough and improved the roster. It leaves me with the coaching. And Carolyn, you kind of touched on it earlier. If the coach can't motivate the team and inspire the team, you can't fire the team. You got to fire the coach, and that's how I see it. I think it's time for a change. And I've said before, I think Hinault, give Hinault the last 30 games and see if he can make any impact, and then go from there.
Yeah, thanks for your call. To the point about the general manager, I understand it's a difficult job. I totally understand that. But I think that you can look to a few moves that David Poile has made that has obviously put this team in a really difficult position. Signing the big contracts to Johansson and Duchesne, two guys that have not been delivering to the level that they need to be. If you are a top-paid guy, if you are a top-line player on this team, you need to be producing. And to the point of drafting, I get it. I understand it. It's hard. You got to wait a few years. It's a delayed return. But I looked at Ellie Tolvanen, for example, a guy who struggled in Nashville. You got nothing in return for him. And then he goes to Seattle and looks pretty darn good. That is an obvious, you know, demerit toward the general manager. And to the point of the coach, I would agree. I think that's part of the coach's job, is to get this team motivated, to get the most out of your top players. It's something that we commend John Hines for doing last year. So neither is completely innocent and neither is completely guilty. I think they each have blood on the hands of this season for the Predators.
I think that's fair. I think everybody... If you look back, you're going to have a lot of things you've done well, a lot of things that, you know, it's Peter Laviolette said it to me a few years ago. I think it was when the team was struggling at some point, and I was like, well, you know, you had the advantage in shots, you had the advantage in scoring chances, didn't? And he goes, you know, he was frustrated, you could tell, but he goes, you know what, this is a results-based it's a results-oriented business.
You got to get the results. Mm-hmm.
And hockey is such a tricky game because it's 82 games, and you can have stretches where just nothing goes right. You know, you're going to go through some tough times. And then you have another team, and you mentioned Tolvanen, and so let's talk Seattle. Everything has gone right. It's been unbelievable. Nobody predicted them to be doing this.
No.
But they got the mojo. It's going right, and it's to their credit. You ride that wave when you're that team. And there's still a long way to go to see what Seattle is at the end of the year and what Ellie Tolvanen is for the rest of the year. And right now, that one really stings, right? Mm-hmm. At the time that they lost him, there was a lot that piled up. They had three or four guys get hurt. They had the McCarron thing. It complicated the salary cap, and they made a move that they really didn't want to make. But they had to be willing to walk away because they felt like they had given Ellie Tolvanen a lot of chances. And then, sure enough, boom, it happens. I have no doubt that Vegas was fine getting rid of Cody Glass, saying, you know what, we'll part with Cody Glass. Mm-hmm. You know, he might do well. He's good, but we're ready to part with him. And Cody Glass, he's not doing what Tolvanen's doing, but Cody Glass's future is pretty good. I like where his career is going. So, when you're struggling, the world looks like it's going to end, you know. And then when you're riding that wave, it's so weird how it can turn. Like, Dallas has been lost a couple times along the way these last couple years, but now everything seems to be coming together for them. So, you know, I think I go back to what Ryan McDonough said. Everybody has got to be accountable for what they've done, right? And nobody's perfect, but this is where they are right now. So I think just spreading around. I just don't like it all being directed at one guy or another. Like it's everybody. It's players. It's coaches. GM. Everybody is involved in where they are right now.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But in this sport, unfortunately, that we can blame everybody, but ultimately someone has to pay the price. And it's not going to be the players. Now, if these guys, if they were much younger, and maybe you can move them and they would be an asset for someone else, but the way it seems, they're not an asset for anybody. At least you're not going to get back anything that's worth, you know, worth you selling off some things.
Nobody wants to take off some of those
contracts. So to me, it's unfortunately, it a lot, even though we say that part of the blame should be the players, part of the blame should be front office, part of the blame should be the staff. And that's right. But ultimately in this sport, you know, it's all going to fall on the guy that's coaching them, whether we like it or not, whether we want to see him move or not. Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Ricky is up next. What's up, Ricky?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Willie, quick question. The New York media has been all over Tanner Janot, especially Larry Brooks, who seems to be a Ranger insider. And the Rangers have Vitaly Kratsov, a number 9 pick overall 3 years ago, who's not playing because he can't crack the top 6 for the New York Rangers, who are, you know, on fire. And they keep linking him to Nashville. So my first part of my question is, has anybody talked about that? They make the exact same money to the dollar, and they're both restricted free agents at the end of the year. That's kind of a move I think Nashville needs to make, where they're losing some grit, but they're getting a top-line forward who's already proven himself internationally over at the KHL. And my second point I wanted to ask, to get rid of some of these contracts, like Joey, you're going to have to take a team, or you're going to have to make a deal, say a first-rounder, if they take Joey and they get, you know, they have to absorb one of the contracts to a team who still has a buyout available that could maybe cut these people. But we're going to have to pay to get rid of those guys.
That's your call, Ricky.
Ricky, I do think that was a discussion a lot, just the last part, when they were left, Johansson and Duchesne were left exposed in the expansion draft, right? It was pretty clear that Seattle was not going to take either one of them. They could have picked anybody that was not protected, right? They ended up picking Cali Yarncroak. Mm-hmm. But they... The talk at the time was, okay, if you're going to unload one of these contracts, it's not just going to be somebody takes them in the draft or you trade them. It's going to be you trade them and something else for somebody to take that contract. That's probably what you would be looking at. And they chose to say, well, we're better off just trying to make it work with these guys. And to their credit, you know, they heard that all summer. They came back last year and had very good years. This year hasn't gone quite that side. Now, as far it's interesting, the Kravtsov for Janot, kind of, let's just throw that out there as a hypothetical. I don't know that much about Kravtsov. I've read about him. He's a high first-round pick. He's Russian. They've had a lot of inner fights, you know, what to do with him. I think he went back to Russia 1 year. You'd have to really have some scouts that you trusted to say. So is that a gamble because you need offensive skill? You need a high offensive skill? You know, I think... Like Elliot said yesterday, like you're fielding a lot of offers like this. Let's just say that's one of 24 that you're having with the different general managers on a particular day. And you weigh that. They are restricted free agents. So Tanner Janot makes about the league minimum this year. So he's going to need a new contract either way. He hasn't had a huge offensive year, nothing near what he had last year. So you could probably get him for a lot less than you would have if you had done this last year. So I think everything has got to be considered. It's interesting. Like, if I were the Rangers, I would love to have Tanner Janot. I can tell you that right now. He brings a lot to the table, even if he doesn't score. And I think that's what you got to weigh if you're Nashville. It's like, what is life like without Tanner Janot? Even though he hasn't scored a lot, he's such a team guy that he could help you win even if he doesn't score. And I do think in the future he will come back and score some. I don't know if he's ever going to score 24 again. That was probably a little overachieving. But I think he still could be a guy that scores 15 per year, something like that, between 10 and 15, and does a lot of other good things in other areas.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ask D-Mace is coming up next. Get those questions in for D-Mace, and you will win a nice prize. I promise you it is a good one. So we'll get into those coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace is brought to you by Curation CBD. Find their healing products at curationcompany.com. Curation CBD products curated for life. Use promo code DMACE, D-M-A-S-E, at curationcompany.com for 25% off Curation CBD products. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And the best question for D-Mace will win a pair of tickets to see Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds and Garbage, both High Flying Birds and Garbage, at First Bank Amphitheater on June 25th. Let's get into it. Questions for D-Mace. First one for D-Mace is, D-Mace, if you are the general manager of the Titans, what position are you taking in the first round and with what pick?
Good question. I'm taking a quarterback. I'm moving up to get my quarterback. It starts and it ends with the quarterback. Rand Carthon said it, the quarterback. If you don't have that quarterback, that can, get you fired. In this league, if you don't have a quarterback, or if you try to get a quarterback and it doesn't work, we see what happened with the Indianapolis Colts. They went to two or three quarterbacks, and ultimately it got Frank Wright, fired in the end. So to me, you try to find a way, or you turn over every stone to try to figure out how to move up to try to get your quarterback if you deem one of these three guys the guy you can that you believe can lead your franchise moving forward. Because to me, the further and further you the more time you let go without having that quarterback, then further and further you put yourself behind the teams that do have their quarterback, and we know who they are already in the AFC, and then teams that are in a position to potentially get their quarterback this year, Indianapolis, Houston. It's still going to take those teams a little bit of time because they have, just like the Titans, they have problems everywhere. But if you can get your quarterback, then there starts that stability being built within your program or your organization. So to me, I would try to move up. If I do believe one of these three quarterbacks are my guy, I try to move up and get them.
And do you believe that there's a way? Because I think so many times we've seen it just go get your quarterback and then build around him. Mm-hmm. Do you see there being a benefit to building around the quarterback and then going to get that guy? Or starting with the quarterback, if you find that guy, you get him, and then you build around him after that?
You can do it. But it has to be the right situation, an ideal situation, because every year – someone's looking for a quarterback. There are two or three teams that are looking for their next quarterback every year. And with the Titans, if I am building around, say I don't have my quarterback, but I'm building around, well, you'll never be in a legitimate position to get the quarterback you want unless it falls to you like it fell to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. They were picking basically at the end of the bottom half of the first round, and lo and behold, they get Aaron Rodgers.
Fair point.
That can happen. Or it can happen where you get a guy in the second round. But more times than not, if you want your franchise guy, it has to be in that first round. So you got to find a way to sort of maneuver and get your way up into that top 12 to potentially get it. Again, you can get it at number 23 or 24, but those are rare occasions that happens. And I just think that in the Titans situation, if they're building, which they are going to do, they're going to build around the quarterback that's underneath center right now. you won't be in a position to get a top 15 pick because you're always going to be good enough to be outside of that, with the exception of this year.
So true.
Yeah.
Doug is up next. What's up, Doug?
I've got a question for not Coach Mason, not Player Mason, but Dr. Mason.
I have known to give some tips here and there, but go ahead.
I have a son and daughter like you,
mm-hmm.
so I know you know the perils of curfew and standards that have to be maintained to keep it equal living.
Mm-hmm.
We're at a point where maybe son is thinking I need a little bit more of a time versus daughter. Daughter hadn't said anything. Again, it's a difference of maturity. What says you? Do you fudge a little, or do you just say, hey, it will still stay the same?
That's a good question. Good question. Thank you. In our household, it was the same across the board. It was, if you're supposed to be at home at, 10 o'clock, your curfew is at 10, then you're going to be at home at 10. That's the same for my son. If my daughter's curfew is at 10, your curfew is going to be at 10. Now, there may be some leeway with both of them, depending on what they're doing. Like if they're at friend's house and or whatnot, then okay, we know where you are. You can stay up a little bit longer. We know the parents, so okay. As long as you get back home, let us know when you get ready to leave. Text us when you get ready to leave, and we know how far you are from us, so we know typically how long it should take you to get home. That's with both of them. But if we're talking that hard line rule, it's the same with the guy as it is with the girl. At least in our household, it was like, and obviously once they get to a little bit older, you stretch that curfew out a little bit longer. You know, it was like 11 o'clock. But, my son is just like my daughter. Somebody will snatch him up just like they will snatch my daughter up. So it doesn't matter to me. And I don't want to come out looking for nobody, meaning not my kids. I don't want to come looking for the person that put them in that situation, because it's not going to be good. So to me, both y'all home at 11. That's the curfew. No, that's a boy. So he's just they no. Because you know what? He's with somebody, probably with somebody's daughter. So get your butt home. 11 o'clock. Get home.
I don't want to be on the receiving end of a D-May's butt whooping.
I feel like my little brother got off easier than I did, just being the younger brother. I feel like I paved the way a little bit. I loosened him up. He had a little more lax.
Uh-huh.
I totally got off way easier than my older sister. Like, she would be like, you're doing, like, you were allowed to do that?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, what do you mean?
Oh, I say that about my younger brother and sister. Y'all got away with murder, boy, compared to us.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of Ask D-Mays, more of your questions for D-Mays coming up next. It's Caroline Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, The Game.
G-Mays. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace is brought to you by Curation CBD. You can find their healing products at curationcompany.com. Curation CBD products curated for life. Use promo code D-Mace, D-M-A-S-E, at curationcompany.com for 25% off Curation CBD products. Remember, the best question for D-Mace will win a pair of tickets to see Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds and Garbage at First Bank Amphitheater on June 25th. Let's get back into it. Questions for D-Mace. One texter texts in. Ask D-Mace, when a quarterback hits a receiver in stride downfield, mm-hmm. how much of that is the quarterback? How much of that is the receiver adjusting to the ball?
I think it's a little bit of both. The timing of the route, depending on what route it is, and it's typically a post, a corner, or a go route if you're hitting in stride, or you run those deep end routes and you hit a guy on stride. There's nothing better for a receiver when you hit him in stride and he can still run. Oh man, that feeling, it's like the best. It's the best feeling ever. It's kind of like, I guess Willie, you can relate to this. Like when you're on a fast break and that guy just gets you the ball as you're going and you just lay it up nicely or dunk. Yeah. I'm not going to say you dunked, Willie.
I dunked a few.
You dunked a few. And in college? I'm saying in college. I'm not in high school. Not I know you dunked in high school.
In high school. I had to pull out the old VHS tapes in high school.
But there's not a – I mean, not, the feeling is great when you can get that ball in stride. So it's a bit of both. But that's why, you know, in the highest league, which is the NFL, you know, you have to throw guys open instead of throwing it to them. So it gives them an opportunity to catch the ball and run.
That was a good one. Here's another one. My birthday is a day before Valentine's Day. How do I get my wife to stop stacking my birthday and Valentine's Day present into one?
Well,
he feels like he's getting... He's getting shortchanged. Yeah.
Well, don't, but it's not your wife fault. Your parents chose to do what they did, and then 9 months later, you were born a day before Thanksgiving.
Have a different birthday. That's on you, brother.
Exactly. She can't do anything about that. I'm sorry, man. I can try to be on your side, but I got to be truthful to myself. Hey, it's not her fault. You know,
that's like whenever you're born on or around Christmas, you just sorry.
Yeah,
you
get like, half the number of presents. It's like, gosh,
tough,
man. So, hey, you just got to deal with it, you know, for the remainder of you guys' marriage, which I hope will be many, 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 many years.
Tom is up next with a question for D-Mace. What's up, Tom?
Hi, Mace.
What's going on?
Do you have any memories of playing against Bill Romanowski and do you think he should be in the Hall of Fame since he's got a few Super Bowl rings? Take care.
Thank you. Bill wasn't the favorite of a lot of people across the NFL.
Putting it kindly.
Yeah, that's putting it kindly. You know, he did win a few Super Bowls. I think he won one with Denver. Or he won two. He won both of them with Denver, right? I believe.
I think that's right. 49er as well. Yeah. For a while, I'll take
and
a look.
That might have been toward the end of his career.
He was on that Raiders team that you guys played in the AFC playoffs. Championship.
So he
game.
Went to the Super Bowl with the Raiders, but they ultimately lost. But he won some Super Bowls, I believe, with Denver. He won both of his Super Bowls with Denver. Should it be in the Hall of Fame? I don't know. I didn't follow his stats. You know, that often or if ever. But he was one of those old school players, man, and he was down and dirty, and he crossed the line a few times.
I think the crossing the line, he got caught up in that Balco.
Yeah,
thing.
He got caught.
So
up
that
in
that probably
hurt thing.
His
yeah.
chances
to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but he did win. He won the two Super Bowls with Denver. Mm-hmm. He won two with the 49ers.
Oh, so he's won four rings. Oh, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know he was on those 49ers teams.
Yeah, he came into the league with San Fran towards, you know, right as Joe Montana was at his peak, and then he also played with Philadelphia in between San Francisco and Denver. So he was on some good teams.
Yeah, but I think that Balco thing will, you know, probably keep him out of any consideration of the Hall of Fame because his name doesn't even come up.
Not really.
You know, even with nominees, his name don't even come up. So.
Joel is up next with a question for D-Mace. What's up, Joel?
Yes. Yesterday, Chase was really talking about Hendon Hooker. Now, I feel like Hendon Hooker is a Cam Newton-type player, so I compared Newton's stats to Tannehill, and they're very comparable. Do you think maybe taking Hooker in the second, possibly third round, even though we already have Malik Willis, those kind of stats that we get from Tannehill and Newton for about 10 to 12 years, both of them, would that be worth it? Thank you.
If Hendon Hooker wouldn't be a bad pick, but you would have to, and he's an older player, you would have to be willing to, one, wait until he gets fully healthy. So you're talking about potentially this is his rookie year will be gone. You know, he'd just be sitting rehabbing. And then, you know, after that year, then the second year, you have to get him in a game, see how he's processing everything, and then let him determine whether, you know, because ultimately that's what it is, the player determining whether you are a starter, a backup, or a guy that needs not be on this team. I think Hendon Hooker is a really good quarterback. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that he got hurt.
Yeah. When he got hurt.
I think he would have been a first-round pick. But if he's sitting there, you know, in the third round, second, third round, then, yeah. If you've done your homework on him and you feel that, you know, he's a sort of a bargain pick in a sense, then, yeah, you pick him because he is a good quarterback. And once he rehabs and get himself back going, I think he's going to help a franchise. So if the Titans feel they can get him and let him sit for a year or two and then, you know, let him go, then I would make that move to get him.
I think one of my bigger questions about Hendon Hooker is, was it the Heupel system mm-hmm. or was it Hendon Hooker? And maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle. Maybe it was both.
Yeah.
Because I look at Josh Heupel at UCF, and those UCF teams only got worse, only had worse records each year he was there. Mm-hmm. And then I look at Hendon Hooker, and he struggled to see the field at Virginia Tech. So it's like, you know, both of these systems and the quarterback that were struggling, and then they came together, and it brought Tennessee to the top of college football. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the answer to that question, but Hendon Hooker is an incredibly intelligent and smart quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a tough guy. He's a good player.
Yeah, so he's probably, other than Richardson from Florida, he's probably the most intriguing guy because you saw what he did, but then you look at, well, he left Virginia Tech and he wasn't, you know, prosperous there. He come here and then all of a sudden he just, you know, comes out of nowhere and plays exceptionally well. At one point he was the Heisman favorite, and then he gets hurt. So it's just unfortunate he got hurt, but I think he will be a player in this league. It just depends on, you know, a team bringing him along the right way.
That was Ask D. Mace. Appreciate you sending those questions in. We'll continue to get in your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And, hey, be caller 3 now for your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Caller 3 now. Caroline Billy, D. Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game.